I just want to thank all of you for the hospitality and the opportunity to come. But if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, let me say this to you. When you see folk shouting and rejoicing, you may think to yourself, well, I wonder what they're doing that for. And the reason they're doing that is because of what they were and what they are now. Matter of fact, for all you children of God that say, well, preacher, I really would shout tonight, but you don't know what I'm facing. Let me give you something. When Israel marched around the walls of Jericho, they did it one time a day for 6 days, seven times on the seventh day, and then God said, before the wall comes down, shout. Most Baptists want to shout after the wall falls. God said, shout before the wall falls. Shout anyway. Sometimes I just shout on general purpose. General principle, just shout anyway. Amen. Chapter number 3, the book of Acts, please. And I trust tonight God will help us. I believe tonight this is the message of the hour. And I trust the Lord will give us what we need. Verse number 1, chapter number 3. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood, and depressed, with his head down, walked with him in the church. Now, that's not the way it reads in my Bible. But I sure have seen a lot of God's people go that way. The Bible says he leaping up stood and walked, and entered with him into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And they knew that it was he who had sent for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Where's that dear lady got saved last night, preacher? She, ma'am, there are folk already amazed by you. She's where on Friday night? She's doing what on Friday night? Matter of fact, there's some of you here tonight that people knew you before you got saved. They can't even believe that you're even here tonight. They're still blown away that you're even in church on a Friday night. But I got it. I got it that way. Verse 12. When Peter saw it, he answered to the people, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power of holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus. Now I'm going to stop right there, and I want to give you something I want you to think about. Trust me, I have been around ministries where God is blessed. I've seen where God's moved. I've seen God do great things. And let me say something to you that'll kill this church and kill any church as fast as anything else. And that is if you start taking any of the glory of what's happening, you may
make sure you step aside and you give God all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. Friend, if we got what we deserve, we'd burn in the charred walls of the damned. If we got what we deserve, we'd be in hell. But God stopped by where we were, and with His mercy and grace, ripped us up out of hell, saved us by the grace of God.
I want you to understand tonight, whatever takes place, you give God all. Not a portion, not some, but all the glory. In this passage of the Word of God tonight, I want to share with you what's been on my heart today. I want to share with you tonight what I believe and what I see even this church going toward. And also, I want to share with those of you that are unsaved tonight a situation that you find yourself in. Tonight, I want you to look at the phrase that Peter said to this man as he met him at the temple gate. Look back real quickly with me. Here's what he said. He said to this man, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Go back to verse number 4. Last three words he said was, "Look on us." I want to preach tonight on "look on us." If this world is going to see tonight what a Christian should be, look on us. If this world is going to see what character should be, look on us. Friend, the world is tired. You can be seated. The world is tired of the religion of our day that is empty and void. The world is tired of people that profess to be Christians but are meaner than a junkyard dog. The world is tired of Christians that say they're saved but yet cheat on things and lie and do all the things the world does. Somebody needs to get real, and somebody needs to get God on them, and somebody, hey, it takes more to live for God than standing up and testifying. Now don't misunderstand me. I've enjoyed every testimony. I get blessed when people talk about how they're blessed. But I want you to understand tonight, it'll make more impact when you go through them double doors tonight than it will standing up in this church. Huh? We have services just like you have. We have people testify. We've had times where you don't get to preach and half the choir's got to have the choir off. And we've had all of that. But I'm telling you right now, there is a world out here that lives around you, works around you, goes to school around you, and they're empty and they're void and they're looking for something in their life. And you want to be able to go around them and say, "Hey, look at me." Now, don't you stay with me tonight. There are several things that I want to show you in this chapter tonight that I trust will help you. And I know God has certainly helped me through these things tonight. First of all tonight, if you would, I want you to look in this chapter at despair. I want you to look tonight, if you would, at despair. You just say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Look back in your Bible a moment. And the Bible says that here is a man here that has been lame from his mother's womb. I want you to look at the despair. Every day of his life, he is laid at the temple gate. Every day of his life, he is laid. Every day of his life, he's unable to move, unable to walk. Every day of his life, he is lame and in despair. The only way anyone had any idea that day of getting any help was somebody had to be willing to get him. And they'd be there at the temple, and they'd be begging for alms. And here this man was laid there at the temple gate daily. And he was begging and pleading for somebody just to give him something. And he was in despair. He was a man that had not walked from the time that he was born. Here's a lame man in that day.
way. Those that were lame like this were almost considered second class citizens, and they could not do for themselves. And he was a man just like that, lame from his very mother's womb. I want you to understand this tonight. If that's not a picture of you and I don't know what is. Friend, when I came in this world, I was born in sin. I was born in iniquity. I could not help myself. I was lost without God. I was in despair. I was afraid I was going to drop off into hell. But God had a different plan. And God had a different way. Thank God He turned despair into hope tonight.
I want you to see tonight the despair in this chapter. Oh, the despair. Boy, I'm telling you, I see people today, if this world is having such a great time, why are they overdosing on drugs? Why are they getting drunk and becoming alcoholics? I mean, everybody you hear about in Hollywood that's got all the money are on drugs and they're on dope and they're drunks and alcoholics. I mean, every young girl starts off some big superstar. Next thing you know, they're in a mess. And they're like, why? Because friend, inside of every one of us, there is a place that nobody else can feel but God. I tried all that stuff. I was raised in religion, but I was lost without God. And after I tried all of that, it was empty, empty, empty. I was in despair. But hallelujah, when God came, and when the Holy Ghost got inside of me, and the despair went away. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about tonight. Your life was a life of despair. My Lord, everybody done gave up on you. Everybody done thought they'll never amount to nothing. Just a life of despair. But thank God, I'm glad something got a hold of me. Hallelujah. Secondly, real quickly tonight, I want to get to where I'm headed. I don't want you to see despair in this chapter, but I want you to see dedication in this chapter. The Bible said He was laid daily at the temple gate. That means somebody got Him there. That means, Lord, I'm going to try to get through this, but I'm a feeling God helping me right now. I want you, hallelujah, I want you to watch this, preacher. That means somebody cared enough, went down every day and picked him up, took him down to the house of God. He was still in despair. He still couldn't help himself, but they got him down there where somebody would pass by or there close to the temple, and he was there, and somebody got him there. Boy, I got to think when I was reading that one day, when my life was in despair, I'd have never got there by myself. I wanted to get as far away from church as I could. I didn't want to be a part of it. But I'm glad I had a praying mama. I'm glad I had somebody cared. I'm glad somebody got me to the temple gate. And somebody got me to the Lord. Preacher, I'm excited. You know me. I love seeing churches grow. I love seeing sinners saved. First church I pastored when I resigned was bumping close to 400 people. Three quarters of the congregation had got saved in that ministry. And I'm going to tell you what, I enjoy seeing people get saved. I'm so excited for a lot of you tonight, because a lot of you tonight, boy, you're giving out them gospel tracts. You're talking to somebody about Jesus. You know what you're doing? You're saying, man, they're in despair. Man, they're in trouble. Hey, they need some help. And you're not looking down at them. You're not better than they are. If it wasn't for grace, you'd be in despair too. If it wasn't for mercy, you'd be in despair too. But thanks be unto God, somebody got you to Jesus. Somebody told you about Him. I want you to notice tonight in this chapter is despair. In this chapter is dedication. Somebody was getting Him there. And I got to hasten on to get where I want to get to. Thirdly, in this chapter, you see desire. You know what that man's desire was? That man's desire was just to get by. That man's desire was to lay there at the temple gate, hold up a cup,
hoped somebody would come by and would drop a little money in that cup. His deal was, I just got to get by today. Then I'll try to get by tomorrow. Then I'll try to get by another day. And it was like any other day in his life. Stay with me now. It was like any other day in his life. There wasn't nothing different about this day than any other day in his life. Here he was again. He's begging again. He's laying at the temple gate again. It's just like any other day. But hallelujah, what he did not know, that this day was going to be different than any other day in his life. Somebody ought to shout glory tonight. Aren't you glad there's a time you went down to the house of God? You thought, well, I'll go, but it'll be like any other day. It'll be like any other service. But thank God somebody been praying. Somebody been calling on God. Somebody been touching heaven. And hallelujah, God got a hold of you. Despair. Dedication. Every one of you right now. Every one of you right now. You think about somebody who was dedicated enough to tell you about Jesus. Hey, somebody had a man of God that was dedicated enough to preach her straight down the line. Hey, somebody had a praying papa. Somebody had a praying mama. Somebody had a co-worker. Somebody had somebody that got a hold of God. Dedication. For some of you tonight, you'd be in hell if it hadn't been for somebody caring enough to point you to the Lamb of God. Hey, I'd have never got to taste this bread if that little lady hadn't made it. I'd have never got to taste this bread if she hadn't brought it. But she brought it to me. And inside of me, I'm going to fellowship with that bread tonight. It's going to get inside of me. But I'd have never enjoyed it if she hadn't brought it. Somebody ought to be helping me about right now. Hey, can I tell you something tonight, friend? I'm so glad somebody was dedicated enough to bring me to the house of God. But his desire was just to get by. Just another day. Another time. You know, so like some of you tonight. You come to church tonight, you're not saved. You thought, well, I'll go. They want me to go. And I'll go. And so you go to God's house tonight and you think, well, I'm here and I appreciate them bringing me and I thank the Lord for it and I'm here tonight. And listen, hey, you said, but I'll be honest with you. My desire is just to come. I want to be a blessing and people want me to come. But what you didn't realize tonight is this. Hey, before you ever knew you were coming, before you ever thought about coming, there's somebody already knew you were coming. There's somebody already knew you were going to come this way. It wasn't Brother Rackley. It wasn't me. But it's the sweet Holy Ghost of God. And God already knew that you'd be here tonight. And He's not stopped by your way. And started loving on you and telling you He loves you. And even in your despair. Desire. I was raised in Sunday school. I went to church on Sundays. I went up and get saved 5 times in Bible school. Every time girls, they'd say, you want to go to heaven? Yeah, sure. And I'd walk up there and say some little meaningless prayer because I just wanted to go to heaven. There was a desire inside of me. What's your name? Amanda, there was a desire inside of me. I mean, inside of me, there was a desire, but I didn't know what it was for. I tried to fill it with rock music. I tried to fill it with alcohol. I tried to fill it with other people. And I'd go to bed at night and the strobe light would be flashing and the rock and roll would be sounding out and I was empty, empty, empty. But listen, when I got saved, I was on the last row of the church and God dealt with me and halfway down the aisle, right in the middle of the aisle, I said, God, I can't take it anymore. I got a desire for something real.
Hey, I want you to listen now. The first time I ever tried marijuana in my life was in the parsonage of a Baptist church. The preacher's son was as wicked as I was. We'd be down in the parsonage smoking dope. Wicked. I'm not glorifying it. I'm telling you, I was on my way to hell. My mama said he's a good boy. Everybody in church said he's a good boy. But good old boys go to hell. You understand that? You'll never be good enough to go to heaven. That night when I was walking down the aisle and asked God to save me, dear brother, the preacher was standing up front. Brother Frank Cape, he's in glory now. I can't wait to hug his sweet neck. He's in glory. I was walking up there. I still remember it vividly. When I took my first step out of the aisle and I come down the aisle, I remember Brother Frank was standing up here. He's a very quiet man except when he's preaching. He's preaching, he's like a Banshee Indian, man. He's unreal. But when he wasn't preaching, very quiet. And listen, when I stepped out, I can still see his mouth today. All he did was he went, hallelujah. That's all he did. I was about halfway up, and I want you to watch this. When I got up to him, I blew his mind. I shook his hand. He's ready to lead me to Christ. He's ready to get somebody to help me. He said, Chris, what can I do for you? I said, Brother Frank, I got saved. When I told him I got saved, he looked at me and he thought, man, I know the kind of life you live. You and my boy, the kind of life you live. When in the world did you get saved? Then he said, Chris, when did you get saved? I said, Brother Frank, about halfway down that aisle, God changed my life. God saved my soul. Honey, I didn't know no Romans Road or any other road. All I knew is I was on my way to hell. I didn't want to go to hell. And God saved me by the grace of God and changed my life. One week later, I was standing in the choir loft. 80 people in the choir. 40 minutes before church ended, I was already standing. Nobody else was standing. 1 week after I got saved, God the Holy Ghost called me to preach. 1 week after I got saved, I was standing in the choir for 40 minutes. Didn't even know I was standing. Don't even remember standing. But hallelujah, that night, God called me to preach. You say, preacher, is it real? Hey, buddy, I want you to get a hold of this. I was 17 years old. I'm 45 right now. It's sweeter right now than it was then. Thank God. I'm glad God filled the desire in my heart. Now I got a few little nuggets if you'll stay with me. Watch now. I want you to notice, first of all, there is despair. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. This world's so miserable. Huh? I'll tell you, any nation that'll put a bunch of idiots in office, America does, have got to be in despair. And I ain't preaching Republican, Democrat, or none of that junk. I'd be the whole crowd all resigned. Everybody quit. We start over. Amen. But can I tell you something right now, friend? My hope is not in a Congress. My hope is not in a Senate. My hope is not in a man. But my hope lies on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Obama gonna fix it. Yeah, right. Just like Bush fixed it. Just like everybody else fixed it. I got news for you. Ain't nothing gonna fix America until America realizes what they've done to God and realizes we need to repent. And buddy, can I tell you right now, if it wasn't for a remnant tonight that has not bowed the knee, God be done destroyed us already. But thank God there's still a remnant like it's gathered here tonight that believes there's a God in heaven and old time religion. I want you to watch. Talking about look on us. Despair. Dedication. What's my little buddy's name here tonight?
Jordan.
Jordan. How you, buddy? Amen. Hey, look. Little fella's got a lot of desires you and I already have. He watch us walk by, gives him desire. Sees us running out, gives him desire. But you brought him tonight, didn't you? As somebody in family brought him. Listen, that's dedication. Somebody got him here. I'm so glad he's up here doing this because I feel God every time he does. Says, hey, man, you say, why, preacher? Make a joke for I believe God's a hearing every bit of it, buddy. Hallelujah. Thank God for dedication. He wants to help himself. You let him, buddy. He ain't bothering me. Thank God. Matter of fact, he can go and practice right now. And when we get to heaven, we'll get hand in hand together. And won't go in no wheelchair. And won't go without somebody holding it. We'll just shout up and down Heaven's Avenue. Sing a little bit with panic talk. Thank God. I'm glad it's real. I'm glad it's real. Hey, buddy, I'm going to tell you, I'm on the winning side. I ain't lost a thing. Thank God I lived the back of the book. It gets better farther on. There's a third, the fourth thing. Not only do you see despair, dedication, and desire, but then you see direction. Peter said, look on us. But here's what he said. He said, silver and gold have a none. Now can I do a little reverse? When Peter said, look on us, a little early in his life, watch this now, he couldn't have said it. A little earlier in his life, he had denied the Lord. He turned his back on God. He went out and wept bitterly. Jesus come down the Via Dolorosa, bloody and battered. And Peter said, I don't know the man. And he turned his back on God. Jesus goes in the grave. Up from the grave he arose. And when he got out of that grave, he sent a message. He said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Jesus knew Peter would be somewhere saying, God could never use me. I failed God so bad. God could never use my life. I'll never amount to nothing. But they said, go tell my disciples and Peter. I don't know what Peter must have thought when he's going to see the Lord. He might have thought he's going to be reprimanded. But can I take time out and say something like this? I'm glad God don't throw the clay away. I'm glad God don't give up. I'm glad God's a God of a second chance. I want you to watch now. Peter couldn't always said, look on us. There's some of you here tonight, all your Christian life, you haven't been able to say, look at me. Because boy, you haven't lived it like you're living it now. You haven't been excited about it like you're excited about it now. It was a day if they'd have looked at your life, they'd have been disappointed. But hallelujah, God's done took you a little ways. God's done brought you somewhere. God's done something in your life. And now you can tell the world, hey, look at us! But I want you to watch. The statement he makes is critical to this passage. He says, silver and gold have I none. I don't believe what most people think that says really is what it means. Watch. I don't believe that he had it with him. But I do believe he had access. Let me tell you why. Acts chapter 2. The people sold everything they had. And they gave it to the apostles to take care of the church. Now Peter may have not had anything that day. But he could have had access. You say, well, why would he say that to that man? Because, you better get ready. What that man needed wasn't silver and gold. What that man needed. Peter knew that day what that man needed. Wasn't silver and gold. That wasn't what he needed. He needed to get up and walk on his own. He needed to walk in the temple on his own. He needed to get up and stay instead of laying there day after day. His life was going to change. So he said, silver and gold have none. But such as I have. Hold that. Reach it out to me. Such as I have, give I unto thee. He said, "What I? Y'all done quit on me?" He said, "What I got, I want you to get." How many times had he seen everybody else go in the temple? But he never went. Because as far as he could get, it's where man could take him. You can't get him so far where man can take that's one of them rattling nuggets right there. You can't get him so far where man can take it. But honey, where man can't take it, I'm glad there's a God in heaven that can take it. I'm glad you can go farther with God. Now I'm not done. Listen. Direction. He said, "Look on us." Let me ask you a question. What do you have that would make others want the Jesus you serve? Is that a chick track, buddy? Good. Boo. That's what it says. Now watch this. You can take that track, you can hand them out all day. That's right. We have track racks. We give them out. That's the right thing. If somebody sees you hand them a track, but you don't have nothing besides a track, then they might read it, but they think, "Is that all it did for you?" Huh? You listen to me now. Now, I'm all for it. Don't leave this church. I said, "Brother Ratcliffe brought a preacher in. Don't even believe giving out track." You're wrong. But we have loads of them. We'll be on visitation in the morning. We'll be knocking on doors tomorrow. But I tell my young people, it's one thing to hand them a track. It's another thing to walk up to that door full of the Holy Ghost with God dripping off of you and the power of God on you. Never forget a story I heard Dr. Bobby Robinson tell about his son Steve, Brother Steve Robinson. Brother Steve is very introverted. Brother Steve, Pastor Lawrence Church now, of course he was with Brother Bobby at Gospel Light, but he's very introverted. And they have a great bus ministry, run 3,000 in Sunday school. And Brother Steve, very introverted. And the bus ministry was going out, and Brother Steve was scared to death going to some of them soul winners knocking on doors. And so he asked one of the men in the church, he said, "Brother," he said, "look, I get to that door, I just freeze up, you know. I get there and I just get intimidated, I don't know what to do." He said, "Can you help me on how to do that?" That old man been running a bus route for years, longer than Steve was old. He said, "Meet me at church in the morning." But Steve said they showed up at church. And they got to church. So when they got there, the man met him at the door. And he said, "We're going to go soul winning." That fellow said, "No, not yet." He said, "Come on." And they walked down to the altar, Gospel Light Baptist Church. Got down in the altar and said, "That man got to pray." He began to cry out, "Oh God! The day when I leave this building, fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost. God, may the honey of heaven drip off of me. May the touch of God be on my life. Lord, so fill me and give me a holy boldness that when I talk to people about Jesus, they'll see God in me." Brother Steve Lee looked at the man and said, "Got it." Hey, you listen to me tonight. Listen to me tonight. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Such as I have, give I unto thee. Are y'all ready? I'm going to show you something that just gets my bless meter real close to breaking the glass. Then Peter does something. He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand. Wait. Come here and help me, son. What's your name? Cody, come here and help me. Have a seat right there, Cody. Just have a seat right there. If Cody was that man, Peter didn't say, "Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And as he took him by the hand, reach your hand out, Cody. No, stay there. He didn't say, "Now look, If your legs are a little weak, or you know you ain't stood all your life, or if you feel like you're struggling, let me know now. But, now, are y'all with me? I'm getting ready to give you something. I'm done. Watch this. How did he know it would work? How did he know that when he said, "Shiver and go and have another name of Jesus Christ, rise up"? And how did he know? How did he know? You say, "Preacher, that takes a lot of confidence. Preacher, for him to tell that man to get up, that man ain't never stood up. That man ain't never walked. All he's ever been is a beggar. He ain't never, how in the world did he know?" Let me take you to a ship. It's in the middle of a storm. And the winds are blowing. And the waves are crashing. And Jesus said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me," Peter said, "bid me to walk to thee on the water." And Peter stepped out of the boat. And he began to walk to Jesus. And he was doing all right until he looked around him. And saw them waves and that wind pushing them waves. The lightning, and he was beginning to sink. And he said, "Lord, save me." Sit down, Cody. And Jesus reached out. And said, "Son, you ain't going to drown. Well, me stand beside of you. Stay right there to watch." You know how he knew? Y'all ready? You know how he knew? Hurry back, son, because it's getting good. Hurry, that's right. Hurry up. Hurry up, boy. Makes you want to get up, don't it? Hey, you know how Peter knew it was going to work? Here's what he got to thinking. Well, it worked for me. It worked for me. Hey, and if it'll work for me, hallelujah, it'll work for somebody else. Let me ask you a question. What are you doing here? I thought that was the day you were sinking. I thought there was a day your life was a mess. I like you the more I'm around you, man. I like good old country boys that get saved. Just something about that's just good. I like that, amen. Hallelujah. Hey, but I'm going to tell you right now, watch this. Every one of you is sitting here and you know what God did for you. And so if God did it for you, why in the world couldn't He do it for somebody else? There's some of you in this building tonight. And you were saying, "Why they want me to go? Why they knock on my door? Why they bring me to church? I mean, what do they care if I come or not?" Because here's what they know. You may have to hold my mule while I shout. Here's what we want them to know. What you told that fellow today. Here's what we want them to know. If He did it for me, if He changed my life, if He rescued me, if He got me up, He can do it for you. I had somebody one time look at me and say, "Preacher, how do you know it's real?" I went, I was the worst kind, buddy. I was religious lost. You know who I love leading to God? I get to do this a lot at my church. Rough, dope head, drug addict, mean as a junkyard dog sinners. They make the best church members. I kid you not. You get somebody to get saved out of sin, love Jesus, you don't have to beg them to shout in the choir. It's Friday night. Can I share something with you? I like you. You like me.
good. She ain't that cute. Is that yours? Lord help me. She's cute as a button, man. I'm telling you. Praise God. You can tell her she didn't get that from her daddy. Amen. I'm telling you. Now, I love you, buddy. Stay with me now. I don't want to stop the bread supply. Stay with me. Several years ago, I was pastoring Burlington. I had this fella come to church. He come walking in. He had a ponytail about 3/4 way down his back. His sleeves were rolled up like happy days. Big old tattoos on his arm. One of the meanest guys in town, man. Rough. He come in on a Sunday morning. Hair slicked back. He must have put a cord of Quaker State in his hair. I mean, son, he was slicked back, ponytail slicked back. He walked in, looked up at me while I was preaching, mean as a junkyard dog. I'm talking about mean. One fella told me that old boy could tie one arm behind his back, take four men, beat the devil out of all four of them because you'd have to kill him to get him off of you. Mean. It's good to have you back, man. Mean. And I want you to watch. That Sunday morning he came and I preached about 3/4 way through the service. God got to dealing with it. I watched him, and big old guys like that, man, they don't like God messing with them. But God got to messing with him. I see him do this. He didn't know, but inside I was going, sick him, Holy Ghost. Sick him, Holy Ghost. In that service, old Eddie came and got saved. Born again. He still tried not to cry, but he couldn't help it. Snot run out his nose. I'm sorry for you real dignified folks. Mucus. I was raised on a chicken farm. It's snot to me, buddy. Amen. Now watch. He came back at night. I didn't even hardly recognize him. He walked in the door, had a white shirt on, a little red tie, and a pair of jeans. And watch this. His hair was cut. Now, don't misunderstand. I never told him a word. I'm one of these people, I think it's very important to catch the fish before you clean it. I ain't never pulled a fish in a boat that came with tartar sauce, coleslaw, and hush puppies. You got to catch it, then clean it. So what's wrong with a bunch of stinking independent Baptists now? Sinners can't even go to their church no more. Huh? But I let them come in any way they want. Praise God, get in there. I preach to you. Amen. So when you get saved and join the church, it's growing time. You don't wear no Hardee's uniform to McDonald's. But I don't think you ought to tell people what to wear. Try to wear your Hardee's uniform working at McDonald's, see if they'll tell you. He came back at night. Come to the front. Sit on the front. Joined the church a few weeks later. And then he become a good Baptist. He had a problem. He come to me one Sunday. He said, "Preacher, I got a problem." I thought, "Well, Eddie, welcome to being a Baptist. What can I do?" Don't get mad. You know I'm telling it right. I was one too, still am. He said, "Preacher, I can't hear you when you're preaching." He said, "There's people hollering everywhere around me, jumping up and down." He said, "I can't even hear what you're saying." And I said, "Eddie," I said, "man, I can't stop them. I mean, they're enjoying the Lord." I said, "I can't stop them, buddy. I'll pray for you." He said, "Well, preacher, pray for me. That bothers me." So I prayed for him, you know. I thought everything was great. It's a month later.
Yeah.
Here he comes again. "Preacher?" I said, "Oh, yeah, Eddie." He said, "Happen again." He said, "I can't hear you, preacher." He said, "So help me, I can't hear all that hollering and shouting." I said, "Eddie, well, I can't tell them to stop, man." He said, "Preacher, there's a problem." He said, "I looked around me tonight to see who was doing it. And it was me." And then he gave me this great analogy. You got to understand, he'd been saved a little over a month. He said, "Preacher, you know, when I was drunk, the only way I really could enjoy all them boys when I was drunk with was I just had to get drunk with them." He said, "You know what I'm learning about this church, preacher? If you're going to enjoy it, you might as well act like the rest of them." Amen. Hey, friend, I'm going to tell you what. I got it that way. They got the big rivalry tonight in Rogersville, right? Football, big rivalry. Oh, there'll be people with paint on their face. There'll be people waving flags and hollering to their horse. Some of them getting in fights. Boy, there'll be people. Oh, they'll be screaming and cheering. And some of them already know they're going to lose. Hey, watch now. Then they look at us like we're crazy. Well, I'll never act like that. My Lord, you holler for a team that's going to lose. And like the preacher said, you ain't got no problem when you leave knowing who lost. You're going to be able to tell it by their face and by their actions. But guess what? If we're saved by the grace of God, it ought to put joy on our face of what God's done for us. I get so tired. Come here, darling. Look at her. Look, see, look, look, look. Just look at them. Just smile at them. Smiling. I get so tired. You can have a seat. Thank you. I'll give you some of the love offer. I get so tired of watching independent Baptists act like they're sucking on prunes. We think sometime because we're independent, fundamental, King James, Bible believing Baptists, that we got to walk in church and be so stinking spiritual and be, boy, we got to come in and sit there with old stone look like, "Bless God, I'm going to heaven, rest of you are to go." You know what I'm talking about. Lord, I get around preachers sometimes, think they're so important, they sign their own Bible. Amen? Hey, can I tell you, I'm telling you right now, I want you to understand. Listen, somebody help me a little bit. I'm telling you right now, if it wasn't for grace, if it wasn't for mercy, if it wasn't for the blood, I'd be on my way to hell. But I got something to shout about. I got something to rejoice about. You say, "Tell your face." Because if it ever gets in you, it'll help you. I'm going to put that in my body. My body's going to say, "Yes." Taste buds are going to go, "Oh, oh, hallelujah." And I guarantee you, after the first bite, it's going to make me want more. Probably, this wasn't planned, but I'm having a good time. Probably all the way home, if I don't eat but just a little bit, I'll be looking over going. Then somebody going to ride up beside him. I mean, riding down the road going. They're going to say, "Wonder what's wrong with him." Hallelujah, I'll tell you what's wrong. Got something on the inside that's done something for him. Look on us. You want to win people to God you work with? You want to win people to God you go to school with? You want to win people to God in your family? Let them see something more in you than lip service. Let them see God in your life. Get them to the place that they're thirsty for what you have. I tell preachers all the time, I ask them, "Brother Hayes, how do you grow a church? What do you do this?" I said, "One thing is, and you folks have got it, you're blessed here, you got to have a pastor in the pulpit that's excited about God before the people in the pew are going to get excited." So, I wouldn't want to go to no church, First Baptist of the Deep Freeze, pastor by Jack Frost, would you? Huh? Preacher walk up in the pulpit, half dead, act like God died 400 years ago.
Take your Bible and turn and let God help you. Does God get excited, man? Well, preacher, I'm just not very excitable. Yeah, right. You get excited about what you love. Huh? Preacher, he don't play golf, but J.R. was kind enough to go over and play 9 holes golf with me today. Preacher, he riding. Now, watch this. We on the cart riding, playing golf. Now, I love golf, play a lot of golf. He don't play. And I saw him swinging. I understand why. I mean, J.R., I can see where it's probably a good thing. But while we're playing golf, he keeps looking over on the hillside. He looked on him. And it ain't nothing but a bunch of weeds and brush. And thicket. And he keeps saying, finally, I keep thinking, what's he looking? All of a sudden he looked, he said, I'll tell you what, boy, what I wouldn't give, have some dogs running through that thicket, hear them dogs are hollering. Man, hey, you know why he got excited? Because he loves that. Amen. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for it. But J.R., when that ball curls around, rolls on this way, goes in that hole from about 30 foot away, I say, hallelujah. Amen. I say, pray. Hey, then he goes, I guess that's all right. Hey, you know why? Because it ain't something he loves. But guess what? You put him and me together in here tonight, and old J.R. in here tonight, and we can all jump up and down, and we can all shout, because we're dealing with something we all love. Amen. I'm tired. Now listen to me tonight. If you're in this building, you've never met Jesus. My little buddy right here, you say you come here tonight and you look over and say, well, I kind of feel sorry for him. He's confined to a wheelchair. If you're here tonight and you lost without Jesus, he's in a whole lot better shape than you are. Oh, yeah. But I'm telling you, he's in a whole lot better shape than you are. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's in a whole lot better shape. Because you die without Jesus tonight, you're going to miss it. But somebody cared enough about you. Here's the thing, I don't know anybody. I know a few faces I met in 2 days. But there's some of you in here tonight. You've been in despair long enough.
Yes, sir.
You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. There's got to be something better. I'm telling you what it is tonight. And then let me say this evening. If you're here tonight and you're saved, but there ain't enough God on you to make a difference in anybody's life. Some of you daddies better wake up. I was preaching to somebody last night.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, I was on key last night as much as I am right here tonight. Sure. It's a little different style message, but I'm telling you, I was on key much last night. You say, why? There's somebody in this building, you're going to mess up. Yep. Your youngins are going to turn on God because of your sorry lifestyle. Yep. You listen to me. You say, preacher, they ain't watching me. They ain't watching you. They're watching every step you make. They're watching how you treat your wife. They're watching how you treat your husband. They're watching everything you do. One day you're going to go out there and get them and say, baby, I want you to go to church with me. Go to church with you. Why? So I can be a hypocrite like you were when you took me? You better get right with God. That's what you better do. Now, I don't know you. I don't know nothing about you. Don't want to know. But I'm telling you, God rung somebody's doorbell last night. You better answer it. Look on us.
What do they see?
Let's don't leave this place tonight in despair. Preacher, we spoke in this building. 1 foot in the grave, another old banana peel. You say, oh, preacher, I'm going to tell you right now. I got plenty of time, preacher, plenty of time. You ain't even guaranteed tomorrow. You ain't even guaranteed your heart beat again. But you got opportunity tonight. You say, preacher, I need Jesus. Well, good news. He's here. Stand to your feet with your heads bowed tonight.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.